Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. No. It's a great morning. Not just because I got the playmaker back here to my right.
My boys.
Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Tonight, we have LeBron and we have the NFL draft with Jerry Jones on the clock and on the hot seat. We will get to Jerry in just a few minutes here on this show. But right now, it is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. And it's time to talk draft with two former great receivers who catch a lot of flack for what they say on this show. Maybe even today they will. But Michael Urban and Keyshawn Johnson, good morning. And I do welcome you back,
man. It's good.
We're playmaker.
And this man, you don't know how much he missed your wisdom and your insight. He was lost without you on the show.
They might do at the 24th pick?
That's a good pick. That's a good pick now. Remember now, we got a Tyler Smith down in that area before now. That was a
You know how many Tyler Smiths you need right now? You can't get with the 24th pick, you can't get a lot of Tyler Smiths.
We got him around that area.
Can we get two at 24?
Right, we got Tyler around that area, right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
As we well know, receivers are nothing without quarterbacks. So let's talk Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. This week it felt like Jaden Daniels' stock was skyrocketing. While Caleb was getting picked to pieces by anonymous scout quotes, it happens every year. Now it's Caleb's turn. Here are a few of those. First scout quote, I think Caleb has a chance to be very good, but I'm not sure about the winning. For me, it's how motivated he is to just win. Ooh. Okay, next quote. He gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with his lack of self-awareness. It's like, I'm kind of above everybody. And next, I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. He's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at, meaning out in Hollywood, and how he's being treated to being the quarterback in an NFL locker room. And finally, an anonymous scout quote about his crying on the bench after losing. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing? That was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. I will tell you, he scares the SH out of a lot of NFL teams, too. And, of course, there was the father is way too involved narrative at the combine and the criticism of his fingernail polish. So, Keyshawn, you know Caleb on and off the field. You've known Jaden and his family, of course, since he was a kid growing up out here in Southern California. You've been consistent saying you'd take Jaden over Caleb, right?
Yeah.
Now, with draft night upon us, are you sticking with Jaden?
Yes, but let me address some of the anonymous.
Come on, man. I'm holding off all I could over here.
I just want to address some of the anonymous.
I thought this might bring you somewhat back into Caleb's right. corner, right?
This is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It makes but look, it's anonymous. Whatever. It's fine. They're scared to put their names with it. I get it. Right. They don't like to do that, Skip. But
saying there are many teams that has this thought, have that thought, and you're just one dude, that's not good. Because that's not right, is what I'm saying. If you're with one team, you're with one team. Don't be saying many teams to make it. Just make
because
yourself.
That's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a damn lie, Skip. Okay? As somebody, I don't want to go too far off, but as somebody that was the number one overall pick out of Southern California, South Central Los Angeles, mm-hmm. gang violence, somebody who's been shot twice, mm-hmm. nothing but gang members around you, me, drug dealers around yep. me, all of that.
You had to go to junior college.
More red flags around me than what you think. From we don't know what type of person he is. Is he going to revert back to this? Does he like to work? Does he this? Stop with all of that. Now they're talking about the man's fingernail polish on his hands.
Right.
Do they even understand the world that we're living in right now? That men across all sports and music and entertainment and political and all, that's what they do. They okay. put fingernail polish. There's
it.
Individuals that have brand deals with fingernail polish. Mm-hmm. So the scouts is crazy. Anybody? Okay, right. So now let's dive into it.
Right. It's just, well, it's just, it has, it's a lot.
And in terms of,
it's not, it has nothing to do with football. And that's what this evaluation is about. And that's what we're talking about right now.
You, one last thing. Crying? You know, I cried like a baby when we lost to Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we was the top thing going and we rolled into Notre Dame and we lost, we got shellacked, although I played well. I still cried, okay, like a baby. And I was the number one overall pick, so that's all foolishness.
I've seen a bunch of cry like babies after games.
Yeah, but, it happens that way.
A bunch of them.
As far as on
the... We're going to see some tonight because the draft is such an incredible moment.
Yeah.
And we're going to see some kids mm-hmm. cry like a baby.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So as far as on the field stuff, I like Jaden Daniels more because I think he's more pro-ready. Okay, and what's pro-ready to me?
Right.
A guy, when I look at the league, typically on certain down and distances, you are in shotgun because they want to get you back so you can see the defense, the rush is coming, you got room to move around. Jaden Daniels could do both. He could go underneath the center, he can drop back.
Although, can I make a quick point? Mm-hmm. This man caught footballs from a quarterback who refused to play in the shotgun ever, right? I don't think he ever, he just despised it. So you somehow won 3 Super Bowls with Troy Aikman, and I don't think he ever stood in the shotgun.
And that may be...
Very rare, because of what
they did from a style standpoint.
He just didn't like to have to watch the football in the air coming back to him.
In the timing of it. You see, when you take the ball from snap, the timing goes with your feet. It's the feet, the time. Now, if you're taking that ball in shotgun, the timing is in your head.
Yep.
You see what I mean? So I've got about 3 steps, I can throw that
slant. You have to watch it into your hands without watching the routes.
Yeah, it's a lot that goes on with that. So the reason I say this about Jaden, you go all the way back to when he first came out of high school and went to Arizona State. He had one coordinator in Rob Linkins. Then the next
By the way, AP recruited him.
Antonio Pierce recruited him in 2019.
Yep.
When he was a recruiting coordinator, linebacker coach at ASU. Then he had Zach Hill. Then he had Zach Hill again. Then he went to Denbrock at LSU.
Yeah, LSU.
So he's been in 3 different systems. So he's had he had to adjust, do all of those sort of things.
He did.
Different than a little bit of Caleb. Caleb's only been in the air raid at Oklahoma. So there's an adjustment period, that now has to come when he goes to Chicago. They're not going to sit back and 90% of the time be in a gun situation like USC and Oklahoma was. So he's got to learn how to get underneath the center, play action pass, drop back, hit his back foot. So it's a little bit of a bigger learning curve. I like Jaden Daniels' skill set at running the football, mm-hmm. not sneak attack running. Mm-hmm. See, Caleb is more of a sneak attack. He's looking to throw. Then he goes. Jaden makes a decision, Lamar Jackson-like, he's gone. Mm. I'm not saying he is Lamar Jackson. I'm saying like, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you look at his ability to take the football, put his foot in the ground, retrace, do all sorts of little things, he throws a pretty deep ball. His ball turns around with whistle. I like all the anticipation with him, all of those sort of things. And again, it does not mean that I don't like Caleb.
Right.
I just prefer Jaden Daniels. And another thing I want to say before I pass this thing on, you've been around this thing 40-some years, Skip, or whatever that number is, covering sports. It's amazing that when you look back in the history of the National Football League, there was once upon a time that black quarterbacks wouldn't even be sniffed and looked at. Dallas Cowboys took Danny White instead of Warren Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. They did. Now when you look at in the 2000s, since the 2000s, you had Michael Vick as the number one overall pick, Jamarcus Russell, whatever, he still was the number one overall pick, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Kyler Murray,
Bryce Young. Now it's flipped completely around.
Crazy to see how far it's come to the point where they say, I love that skill set. Opposed, they didn't like it in the past. The NFL is changing before our eyes a little bit at that
position.
It is,
and that's a great point.
Right. It is flipped. But I don't think that far. Key. And it's perfect. Because you see, I got Lamar Jackson's name right there, Jaden Daniels, too. And that's a perfect example because when you talk about the Chicago Bears having the first pick. Now, both of these are great quarterbacks. And on this day, it's always difficult because we're comparing. But both shall have a great day today.
Oh, my goodness.
Both will have a great day today. We were talking earlier before we came on. I remember this day. It's a long time ago, April 24th, 1988. And I remember that when I woke up that morning and we were talking about, thinking about draft, I said, today is the day I'm going to tell my mama she ain't got to work no more. So there are 32 dudes that will walk this floor tonight, and they're thinking that same thought. I'm going to tell my mama. So you're going to see some crying because they watch their mom work 2-3 jobs and come home late, tired. Yeah, and they promised that mom that she's going to not have to work one day, and the day that dream comes true, I can't wait to see it for all of these young men. But when we're talking about where we go with Caleb Williams, Jane Daniels, the situation also helps you determine which way to go. Chicago, you just mentioned it, Key. Jane Daniels is a better pure runner. Now, we used to be in the day, you guys were talking about a Danny White and a Warren Moon, and you look back now and say, wow, how could you make that mistake? But the reality is everybody was looking for pure pocket passers back then. And Warren Moon, though he was a great pocket passer, he could also move more like a Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams can be a pocket passer, but he can move. But he don't run like Jaden Daniels. He don't run like Jaden Daniels. He don't run like Justin Fields. He don't run like Lamar Jackson. But everybody has him in the same mind of playing like a Patrick Holmes. And right now, that is the GOAT. And that is the target. We just had a Justin Fields. To go and bring in a Jaden Daniels is a lot like Justin Fields. We can't do that. But a Patrick Mahomes, we missed one time the first time around. We can't miss it the second time around is what Chicago Bears are saying right now. I'm taking Caleb Williams because I want a guy that thinks, and I know I want that thinks pocket first and then play. He only rushed for 121 yards. Jaden Daniels rushed for 1,130-something yards. So yeah, he can run. 6'4", they say 210 pounds, Jaden Daniels. I say 6'4", tall, lean, about 200, 205 pounds. Yeah, you can run, but you better be running out of bounds in the National Football League. This is not college. Mm-hmm. We have much bigger players like the Cam Newtons and the Andrew Lux. Andrew Lux, who walked away because he was so tired of getting hit and beat up. What you think they'll do to 6'4", 205 pounds? And I heard, he wants to rush, be the best rushing quarterback. That's great. I would have saved that to after the draft. Because Justin Fields said something like that, and the next thing you know, they were saying, yeah, we're going to have to move on because your primary concern is throwing the football and you don't come out right before the draft say, now you can, I don't take it. I want you to rush for a lot of yards, but I want you to throw that ball and throw it all over the field. I'm taking Caleb Williams, Chicago's taking Caleb Williams, and I'm so happy for Chicago for the first time. Maybe if they give him time to develop and let him play his game. My concern, Skip, before I give it to you, is what I saw with Justin Fields. And Justin Fields said, man, I'm tired of thinking. I just want to play. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to inundate this young man and put pressure on him right away. And I don't want you to let him make him lose his confidence in the way he plays the game. Mm-hmm. That's very important. But I'm taking Caleb Williams first. Mm-hmm. Over Jaden Daniels, do I like them both?
Yeah, Skip, like I said to you before, if I'm Chicago, that's okay. I don't mind that. I understand Jaden Daniels as a quarterback a little more than Caleb.
I understand.
But Chicago, there's no wrong in them taking Caleb. If they, right.
And that guy talked early on, just the anonymous guy, talking about how people don't like. I thought it was great that, you know, you started hearing Keenan Allen showing up at his workouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's just brilliant by on his part, Keenan Allen, to be there. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to help him transition. So, Key, that's something we're not talking about. How much having a Keenan Allen will help you transition in the national
board. It's not even Keenan Allen. DJ Moore's a veteran, too. Yeah. So.
Right. But what I'm talking about, Keenan Allen and the way he plays the slot and the way he understands the position. He understands the position like the quarterback. So now you got your little blinky open. Right away. DJ Moore is more upfield guy. He's
Agreed.
Going to get me upfield. And if I just have the upfield guy, that's more tougher development on those plays than it is the Keenan Allen plays.
All right. Quick point to your black quarterback point. 1977, I'm working out here at the LA Times, and I spent a week in Grambling, Louisiana with a young man named Doug Williams at Grambling because I thought he was going to be the first pick in the draft, going to the whoever was going to wind up with the first pick. And I called around to different GMs, and a very prominent GM, whose name I will not say publicly because it would shame him, though he's not with us anymore, told me that Doug Williams does not have the mental capacity to play at our level. And he fell to 17th in the first round, and the rest is Super Bowl history because he became the first black quarterback, of course, to win a Super Bowl. So we have come a long way from that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, to your point, it is hypercritical time because that's where we are, because stakes are very high. So we have to pick nits here between these two quarterbacks. I am Caleb all day and all night over Jaden, and I'll tell you why. I watch Jaden a lot, and I do have big concerns about his arm strength. When you talk about the deep ball, I saw him underthrow a bunch of deep balls. I'm not sure he's got a big deep ball arm. I have no doubt about the first level. I have zero doubt about the second level because he's a dart thrower. Very accurate, but he doesn't have the outside the numbers arm strength that Caleb does. Mm. Caleb's got a rocket launcher. He has natural, huge arm strength. It's effortless arm strength, a la Mahomes. And I think he can be Mahomesian, though God help us if we throw Mahomes on him early because it's just too much to live up to. But I'm not sure about the strength of Jaden's arm. And to Michael's point, I know he sort of liquided up for the draft for the combine, but I don't think he's going to play at more than 200 pounds because he's just slender built. He's 6'4", 200, but he timed 4.33, so he can flat out fly. It's close to Lamar. I don't think it's quite Lamar's burst, but it's in the ballpark with Lamar. So on straight ahead running, escape a bit. When he gets loose, he really gets loose. Caleb doesn't run like that. Caleb's more in that 4.60 sort of range. But I got to tell you, Caleb Williams is a special, rare talent. And again, it took me, I'm going to call this on myself, it took me a long time to come back around because he left my program that I grew up loving with stinking Lincoln Riley and came out here to your USC Trojans. I just couldn't. It's just hard to come back now.
Oklahoma to come to L.A. too.
I did not. I never left my heart. My heart stayed there, right? I don't root for anybody else. I mean, I went to Vanderbilt, so I root for them. But again, I'm a sooner born, sooner bred, and when I die, I will be sooner dead. And Caleb left us to come to Hollywood, and then he wins Heisman. Do you know how many Saturday nights I sat on my couch with my wife Ernestine watching your USC Trojans, and I'm rooting against Caleb just because I'm rooting against stinking Lincoln, and time after time after time he pulled off a play where I said he did it again. He is the all-time escape artist. I mean, he doesn't escape to run. He escapes to throw.
Absolutely.
And that you said that in days past that would have been a minus against him. But Patrick Mahomes has made because now it's not. I don't need the guy that can rush for 1,000 yards. I need the guy that can maneuver in this pocket and buy time and then make all of those plays from all the different arm angles. It's like the same thing we're seeing in the NBA and the WNBA with what Steph did and Caitlin Clark is carrying it on. Why do you think we're so enamored with her? It's because what we've seen Steph Curry
do. True.
And that's the same thing we're getting here. is this the next Patrick Mahomes?
I understand all of that,
but this is the National Football League, and you know that's what's going to be the narrative. That's what Chicago thinks they're getting.
I understand.
We missed the first one. We can't miss the second.
Ryan Poles was part of the staff in Kansas City at the time that drafted Patrick Mahomes. So I'm sure he has some, you know, some flashbacks, so to speak. Here's the issue that you have when you go in and you start comparing the National Football League to college football. In college football, you can run around and you can do all of that at a high clip. Caleb does it as off schedule at a high clip.
He does.
Patrick Mahomes does not do it at a high clip. We make it sound like Patrick Mahomes is doing it at a high clip. He's not doing it at a high clip.
But he just does it at crucial times.
He does it at crucial times.
He did it in the Super Bowl.
He stay making plays, doing those sort of things. Caleb, on the other hand,
I'm with you.
It's like literally all the time.
But last year he had to because the offensive line.
Even the year before he made those type of plays, but it may not be because of him. It may be because of the offensive line.
Right.
The skill positions around him may not be getting open. We'll have to wait to see that, but let's not. I don't want to start putting that Patrick Mahomes. You cannot do that to this kid.
Okay,
listen, what we're talking about are two things. We're talking about the gift thereof and the ability to know when to exercise the gift. You see,
that's
that's what Patrick Mahomes has.
Yep. Yes.
Now, first in this evaluation so far, what we're determining is the gift thereof. And this kid has that gift. Now, we'll see at the next level if he knows how and when to exercise that gift like a Patrick Mahomes, because Lamar Jackson has the gift, and he has to learn still how to win and when to perfectly exercise that gift.
Yeah.
That's the whole difference.
All right, so Keyshawn thinks I make too much of this, but the first time I got to actually see Caleb in action was he was a true freshman at the University of Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley made him sit for six whole games. I'm saying, just play the kid. He's supposed to be special. Let's see special, because Spencer Rattler is not special to me, and he's also in this draft as we speak. And they get to the Red River Rivalry in Dallas, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
Stadium split, orange and maroon, and here we go, 50-50. And they get in trouble against Texas. It's a shootout, and in comes the true freshman. And all he does in about half a game is throw for 212 yards, and he runs for 88 more yards, and he scores three touchdowns. And let's see the touchdown run first, if we could. Here's the when I saw this, I said, wait a second. Seriously, you're doing this? And with the football under his arm, he looks pretty fast to me, sort of like Emmitt Smith was. He's faster with the football under his arm. All right, so we saw that. And then next thing I see is a 66-yard touchdown pass, if we could see this one. Just this is right out of the box. He's a true freshman, never played college football against your arch rival, and he throws it off the wrong foot into the corner. It's a dime.
Perfect.
He drops a dime. Again, just wrong foot throw, just stepped up, kaboom, there it was. And I said, that is special. And then a couple of weeks later, here's Kansas, and Kennedy Brooks gets stopped for the first down, and Caleb goes and takes the football away from his running back. I know it happened fast. He goes and takes the ball away from Kennedy Brooks and says, I'll do it.
That's
if you
Patrick
can't do
Mahomes
it, I'll do
stuff.
It. I'll take the football away from you, and I'm going for the first down because we're in trouble against lowly Kansas. That's what happened.
I was about to lose to Kansas.
Yeah, we're in trouble. Stinking Lincoln.
But
overrated, as you know. He's overrated, right?
But let's talk about those. Those are the big plays and big moments. Yeah. And some people are born and bred.
They just are. That's what happened.
And to see that early, usually when it's something that early, that means it's in you and it'll
that
be there
correct.
That late.
I am
you. And I'm telling you, that stuff you're going to see at the next level. Patrick Mahomes does it. He does it, and the possibility of getting you a Patrick Mahomes. I don't care what y'all say. Stop comparing. I ain't gonna stop comparing because ain't nobody out there gonna stop comparing. Everybody's going to do this. This is what it is. Everybody's looking
fair
for the
unfair,
Patrick Mahomes.
Right?
Fair or unfair?
Yeah, okay.
So Caleb, come on, handle this pressure. Do not get up there and say I don't want this pressure. Yes, you do, because you want all the money they're gonna bring to.
All right, and Keyshawn, I'm gonna throw this stat back at you one more time.
They want it all.
This is productivity at the college football level. He accounted for 120 touchdowns with his arm and his legs and only 19 turnovers. That's sensational.
But I'm not drafting somebody number one overall pick based on statistics.
I understand, but I'm just talking about college productivity.
Wait. What are you drafting him on? What are you drafting him? Wait. You can't just say that.
Can he play football?
But I want to see the statistics from when he played football. I can give you
so many people that got great numbers in college football. And when they came to play at the level you was at?
Can you give me so many people that don't have any numbers in college football and then did great in the pro? The answer is no.
Yes,
that's the way you should take that question.
No, I should not.
You can't. Who did nothing in college and then turned out to be great in the pro?
I will let Skip toss to the next thing, and you and I have a sidebar.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Won't back down. Bottom. Hey, leave me alone.
Let's talk Dallas Cowboys, shall we? While the rival Eagles had the best NFL offseason, the Cowboys have had by far the worst so far. Jerry Jones is obviously putting all his eggs in his draft basket, and those eggs he picks tonight had better not turn out to be rotten. Jerry Jones is on the clock. He's on the hot seat. Right now, his roster isn't even a playoff team roster, but he and his scouting staff have drafted very well over the last decade or so, until last year when they went with Michigan's Mozzie Smith in the first round, and he had a shaky rookie season. To me, Jerry had better pick four or five instant impact rookie starters tonight to resuscitate a team that obviously got embarrassed in its home playoff game, then suffered a mass exodus of free agent losses. So, Michael Irvin, you know this team, you know this owner. What do you want to see from Jerry tonight?
You know, and I'm telling you guys that I spent about, I had a two-hour meeting with him the other day, the last 5 hours last week, and talking about everything that's going on. You know, and Jerry, just he's a brilliant guy. He's a brilliant guy. But we talked about the draft and what they're looking for right here in the draft. First of all, you guys know, I asked him about the all-in. Jerry's like, all-in, first, our priority are the three guys, our main three guys, keeping all three of those guys on the same team, which is going to be difficult because all three of them deserve to be top paid. At least two of them deserve to be top paid at their position.
Yep.
You saw what St. Brown just got. You don't think C.D. Lamb's going to want to jump that number?
Why do you say two? Well, who's the third guy that's not deserving to be paid?
Well, I didn't say not.
No, you said two.
Because Dak Prescott, you know.
So is he one of the two?
No, Dak Prescott already said he doesn't have to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
But the other guy's got to be
Michael Parson and CeeDee Lamb will not capitulate to
him.
Okay. I guarantee you, because Dak's already got that one big bag.
And he got
He's looking on another big bag. And those other guys
so
looking for
that
first big bag.
You get him on a Michael Irvin discount, is what you're saying.
Michael's, I'm talking about he's not going to give up a discount.
No, I'm talking about Dak.
Well,
you get Dak on a discount is what you're saying.
I don't know if you get Dak on a discount. Because I don't know if any quarterback contract is really a discount.
Okay.
It's just would Dak be willing to say, I can let you take a little bit off here because I want you to keep CeeDee Lamb over here or keep Michael Parsons. It's going to come down to that. Now, as far as what they do tonight and what they do now, and you said in the run-up, get four or five players. They're going to get one tonight. One tonight. Now, through the process
so
of the draft, they need to find at least three or four players that's going to start right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
So they should stay right at now. 24 for you.
24. But you could stay at 24, but I want the same approach at 24 that you took with Tyler Smith a couple years ago. And I remember, and I can show you, I hit with Will Clay, text with Will Clay this morning, and we talked about it. You know, they feel real good that tonight with that pick, that they'll get somebody that they do, that is definitely going to make an impact. Because you need all three, the guard, tackle, and the center. You need all three positions. And you have the versatility of a Tyler Smith. So now, if I find a great guard in here, I can get him and put Tyler Smith at the tackle. If I find a great tackle, I can get him and leave Tyler at the guard and find a center. If I find a center, and I think that's where I'm aiming, because to tell you the truth, man, things haven't been right since Travis Frederick retired. And people don't give centers the importance that they really have. And the great ones, like Philadelphia's about to find out, are very hard to replace.
That's a good point.
You know, they're very hard to replace. It's not just the blocking that they do. It's the calling of the offense and offensive line and the sets that are very important. And understanding those calls. So finding a great center is what I think Dallas need to do more than anything. But they do. Like, that's what Jerry meant when he said a lot of leaves on the tree. They the position of need for the Dallas Cowboys, there are a lot of leaves on that tree. A lot of leaves falling off that tree. So at 24, we should be able to get one.
A lot of leaves falling off the tree and the draft hasn't even started yet.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't.
There are a lot of offensive linemen in this draft. There are a lot of offensive linemen in this draft, and the Cowboys, you get any one of these good offensive linemen, they can be used. And at this place, this position, I want it to be the right attitude, not just I'll give up before go. A little bit of talent if you got the right attitude, and that's what they did with Tyler Smith. Mm. We need attitude guys with heart and guys that will not.
You have a name.
So the only individual position that y'all need.
Don't tell nobody because the draft hasn't started.
So the only position that y'all need is offensive line.
But that's the first position.
That's the first position.
And then we'll go defensive line.
Oh, okay.
Defensive line. And then it's linebackers.
Okay.
Then we'll look at running back and pass rush.
What if your defensive lineman has a higher grade than your offensive lineman at 24, or your he's both of them are available?
That is a good question.
That's a great question.
That's a damn great question. That's a great question. Because you're saying you need an offensive line.
Right.
Here's what I would say about the Dallas Cowboys at 24. You are not in the position as a team right now to take the best player available.
You are not in that position as a team.
Okay?
You have to draft need, and you got many needs.
Right, and they got many opportunities.
And your grade on the board, typically, and I've been in many war rooms, typically that grade on that board is going to dictate what position you take in that slot. Because you have many needs. Your need is just not offensive line.
But you have the versatility of a Tyler Smith. So now I can play with that need a little bit.
You can't.
Since I can play with him. I need a center and I need a tackle.
You need somebody on the defensive side of the ball. You need somebody on the defensive side of the ball, too.
Yeah.
If your defensive lineman has a higher grade.
But the draft is deeper in offensive line, and that's why
if the draft is deeper in offensive line and you're sitting at 24, you can wait to get an offensive lineman if it's that deep. Why would you reach? Why would you reach? If it's so deep on the offensive line, you don't need to take him at 24 because you can get a dude at 58.
No, that's not true.
What?
That's not true. They're expecting a lot of linemen to go in the first round of this draft. There's always great drop-off sometimes when you go from the first round to the second round.
You got the 56th pick in the second round.
Yeah.
If you're telling me that you're so deep on the offensive line and that is your priority and your need,
I say
you need picks, number one. That guy at 24, just because you think you hit on Tyler Smith once, don't mean you're going to hit on him twice. Now you're sitting there forcing yourself to draft a guy based on your ability is saying that the draft is deep. Now, all of a sudden, you taking a guy that you could have got at 56 at 24? That doesn't make any sense.
I know, but if you're sitting on somebody at 24, they're not going to last to 56.
Right. Yeah, but that, but is that grade? Is that grade? What's that grade, though?
Okay, but if you want to trade back three or four spots, the way they did.
I would trade back at 24 if I was there.
All right, that's how they got Micah Parsons.
You got two. That's how they got Micah Parsons. Too many needs.
Then you can say that. You can, when you trade back from 28 to 34 and you still be in it. But from 28 to 56, no.
I'm not saying you should sit at 56. You may want to move up from 56 into 39 or something.
But what I'm saying, if you got the right player at 24 and he has the right mentality that you want to bring on that team, then I'm not risking trading down hoping he's still there.
Y'all got a lot of issues, though, to be honest with you, Michael. You know that, right?
Well, starting
with the three that you got to pay. Those are issues that you got to be faced.
And those are the primary issues that we talked about.
But those are different buckets, though. Yeah. Those are different buckets for you, Skip.
Yeah.
Those are our own guy bucket versus draft bucket.
Okay.
And extended free agent bucket that,
I understand.
You know, post-June 1st type guy. Or guys that's still available.
But one last thing, Skip, before you go, but they are not different buckets because all the money to all of them come out of one bucket. So now I have to play that accordingly, if you understand what I'm saying.
I'm separating the money.
So since I know I got to put so much money into those veterans, I know the importance that I got to hit on with these rookies because I need these rookie contracts and I need these guys playing. I can't go out and have to pay some other guy big money to bring them in those positions. That's how the buckets commingle, if you don't mind me sharing that with the good folks.
You go ahead, if you choose to do so, think that the seven rookies you're going to draft are going to be all contributors. You go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm not thinking. I'm thinking that they're thinking they have to find, like we talked about, at least three or four that are contributors.
You have to. Right now.
Okay. Because the number to those top three guys are going to indicate it. That's just the reality.
Okay, so Michael mentioned this name out of the side of his mouth. I'm going to mention it out of the front of my mouth. But it's rampantly speculated that Dallas is intrigued with Graham Barton out of Duke.
Don't tell everybody.
Okay,
Skip.
It's out there. Everybody's saying. Okay, so.
He going in the 15th slot.
15th? You think so? He might. All right. So everybody I've asked about Graham Barton says he is a pro's pro, a technician, 6'5", 313. My only issue with Graham Barton was he's a Nashville kid. Vanderbilt, my school, wanted him badly, and he went away to Duke, and it
better education.
Yeah. No. The education to be had was at home.
That's great.
He wanted to get away from Nashville, so he went to Duke. God bless him. And here's what intrigues me about Graham Barton. He started three straight years at left tackle. He wasn't a center. And I don't really understand all of a sudden, because he's kind of T-Rexy, he's got short arms, and so it doesn't translate as well at the NFL level at left tackle because you need longer arms to be able to control the edge rushers. So now, all of a sudden, I guess he's all in on I'll move all the way inside and play center. I don't know. That's a shocking conversion to go from left tackle to center. But that's what he's talking about. And I think that's what
it also tells you about the versatility and the gift and the talent now.
It does.
Skip. And that's what the Cowboys have all loved. And that's what they loved about Tyler Smith. And that's what they want.
Okay. Graham Barton was first team all ACC left tackle. So, there you go.
Cowboys, man. Y'all get caught up in too much.
I'm going to throw out one more name. And you will appreciate this. I wouldn't mind it if Jerry took Blake Corum in the second round out of Michigan. You know why?
Boy.
Because he reminds me a little bit of somebody you played with because he's got some Emmitt Smith in him. They are exactly the same size, 5'9", 205. They run the same way with incredible balance and quickness in confined space inside. And all I know is I watched Blake Corum carry Michigan, literally carry Michigan to the national championship. And every time I turned my TV on, people could not get him on the ground. He did not time fast, neither did Emmitt. They're both 4'5"-ish, okay?
He's going to the Chargers.
They said they're doing everything to get him. And you know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? When a coach comes out like Jim Harbaugh and talking about, man, how badly they want him, it tells you the kind of leader he is. He's like, I need this dude in my locker room to push my message so when I'm fussing everybody's butt. He's the one saying, I'm telling y'all, this is going to lead to a championship.
Okay.
That's why he's I like him, too. And he looked like that, even in the championship game. He looked like that dude that the whole team looked to. Then he looked like the whole dude.
Okay, I see him projected third or fourth round because he ran five.
That's people that don't know him.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember that. Those are projections. Those are mock drafts. The guy that's sitting in the room in Manhattan Beach where the headquarters are for the Chargers, he knows him. Mm-hmm. He recruited him.
No, I got it.
So he's going to believe anymore.
You're going to spend a higher pick? You're going to go second round?
Yeah, why not? It's my guy. Yep. I'm going to reward you.
Yep. And this is the guy for my locker room.
Yeah, I'm going to reward you all day long.
Okay.
I'm not going to allow you to go to somebody else to screw you up.
I'm just saying, based on still some number, sitting there at 56 in the second round, I'm all over him. Yeah. That's just me.
Coach McCarthy said that, too. I want a running back to come out of here and come out of this draft. And if they can get – that would be insane.
Yeah, it's hard for me to look up – the Chargers need a running back. It's hard for me to look up and see a guy that I just left – that's on the board that I know.
You know.
Is going to give me everything I need and I want to pass on him to go get something that I don't know from some other school. It's hard for me to see Coach Harbaugh do that.
Okay. And Michael, the other position is receiver. It's deep, loaded with receivers, this draft. Are you interested in another one in the 30-ish round, somewhere in there?
Oh, yeah, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. And there's some guys. Man, I want a big receiver here, a big guy. You know, I was at Combine with guys like Keon Coleman. Now, I don't know how far where he'll go here. I don't know where he's projected to go. Mm. But a big guy like that, an area code receiver, that's something the Cowboys haven't had in a while. And what good is that? It's okay. When we do get in these shaky moments or you feel like it's a shaky situation, like we saw in that last playoff game where Dak and CeeDee was a little bit off.
They were a little off.
Now you got the big guy.
It was all
first half. Yeah, the first series. And missed that end cut. And then they never got together to communicate, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
You know, but you need that big guy that says, don't worry about it. I know you're not totally, whatever reason, accurate right now. But just throw that ball up to a big guy and let him go and get it. And a guy, if I can find me that big receiver, the Cowboys need that guy.
All right. Last question to you. I'm going to put you back on the hot seat. What's your best guess on what Jerry does with Dak's contract? 1 year or 4 years? Will he make him play it out to see what leaves fall in the fall?
You know, in the conversation I've had, with Jerry, when we were talking about this, and so I guess I was in the back room. I was telling people, I said, you know, I heard Dak talk about first not having to have to be the highest paid, and also, hey, you know, I'm not afraid to go elsewhere. I'm not afraid to go elsewhere. I heard Jerry talking about some of these same things. Ooh. You know, well, listen, we understand. We are a team that traded away our best player at one time, talking about the Herschel Walker, and got a great load for that. I was like, I'm sitting in there saying, I don't really want to have this conversation. You know what I mean? But in negotiation, we get to a point where we start doing that. Everybody starts talking about, well, it's a possibility of me not being here. It's a possibility of me not being here. I hope that don't let anybody talk him into not being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. And I certainly hope Jerry Jones don't think he can find somebody.
So Dak should be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback on a long-term deal.
Well, Dak is the Dallas Cowboys quarterback until we know we got something better. And I know we don't know we got something better right now.
So how you going to know that anyway? How you going to know that? Because that something better ain't going to never play
games, 17 games,
so to speak.
But you get to see a practice. You get to see what
the guy
so
you going to make a decision. You going to make a decision on the dude in practice versus this guy who's been your starting quarterback, who's led you to winning the divisions and led you to playoff victories. You're going to look at a dude at practice and say, you know what, we're going to move on.
You know, it's so funny. They looked at, remember when they were talking about Russell Wilson early on? And they said, is Caleb Williams have some of that Russell Wilson? When Russell Wilson was coming in the league, I don't know. That was a compliment. They were trying to use it as a slight. That was a compliment. Russell Wilson came right in the league early on and showed some real leadership and took a starting job from Matt Flynn, who had just got a lot of money. Exactly. So all that mess they were talking about.
So Matt Flynn is Jack Prescott now. No,
what I'm saying is they determine, you ask me a question, let me answer. They determine in practice when they watch Russell Wilson that, yeah, he is the guy that we can now go in another direction.
They did.
You got that determination in practice. Yes, you can determine things in practice. Russell Wilson ultimately took him to a Super Bowl. Yeah. That Matt Flynn never would have gotten to. You asked me a question. Oh, I gave you an answer and gave you an example as if I was Johnny Cochran and I pulled a case out of my butt.
So now you're getting ready to tell me that...
I was telling you.
No, you get ready to tell me that Russell Wilson led the Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl. I wish our other colleague was here with us right now to defute that, along with some of the other guys on the defensive side of the ball, along with Marshawn Lynch. Mm. I get all that. So what you're saying is you want to take a rookie quarterback with this vantage defense that y'all have in this offensive line of terror and put a rookie quarterback in there or somebody who hadn't played as many games as Dak Prescott to get you to the place that you hadn't been in 30 years, which is the NFC Championship game. That's what you were saying.
All I said was, when you ask me about Dak Prescott, I want Dak Prescott as my quarterback.
Okay.
But there, and Dak Prescott is my quarterback. What I hate is when we start talking about the possibilities of doing this without each other. And that's what happens in negotiations.
But I told you this two months ago.
I never said I didn't want Dak Prescott.
But I told you and Skip 2 months ago, when Skip Bayless kept talking about don't pay him. What did I say?
4 years.
Yeah. What did I say? I said, you do that if you want to.
You said
and
that.
Watch what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He going to walk his ass right out the door. Mm. And that's exactly what's getting ready to happen, because I don't think Jerry Jones is going to pay him throughout the summer. He going to play the wait-and-see game, and I'm Jerry Jones, and I can cap you into taking a lesser deal.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Michael, is it possible Jerry Jones takes a quarterback in the first four rounds?
I don't think you have to go that. You can go that early at a quarterback when you have so many players that you got to find.
They got two guys on the bench anyway.
You got to find two, three guys that plays right now. So you cannot go that route.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait.
Y'all trying to get back up out of there.
I just know as a player, when you keep playing games with my money, and I've done a lot for your organization.
Stop. Ain't nobody playing games with Dak money. Dak's been getting a lot of money. He made a whole bunch of money. So stop with all of that.
So,
like, ain't nobody paid Dak Prescott.
That's not what I said. They're doing negotiations. I said playing games with my money. I didn't say anything about the past. I'm talking about right now today.
All right.
You know and I know I need a damn new deal.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's talk best receiver in the draft with two former great receivers, playmaker and key. Marvin Harrison Jr. is obviously the consensus number one receiver, though he was criticized this week by scouts who wondered why he didn't run at the combine or at his pro day. Competitors compete, said one scout, and because he appeared to take the pre-draft process a little too casually. So, Michael, Hall of Famer that you are, which receiver would you take first?
There's a lot of rhetoric that's been pushed about and a lot of mess that's been thrown around. For me, bar none, I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. as the number one wide receiver in this draft, because he is the number one wide receiver in this draft. You can tell me all you want about, well, we didn't see him run the 40. I saw him run by enough people. There's nothing on a football field from the receiver position that Marvin Harrison cannot do. And he does everything very well. He's the total package at wide receiver. You want to put him in the red zone? He's a great jump ball guy to go and get you touchdowns. You want to run him across the middle of the field? He shows that kind of courage to make plays across the middle of the field in an intermediate area. He goes deep. He's everything. His ability to transition is insane to be at that size and being able to turn and come in and out of cuts like he is. He's great at it. There's a lot of noise about the Malik Nabers and the Romo Dusé and the great good receivers. But I'm not taking them over Marvin Harrison. And I'm not taking them just because Marvin Harrison didn't do all the things I wanted him to do and work out at the combine. Just not doing it. I like Malik
Nabers.
Although
you have said
I love you to compete. Okay, I want you competing.
You would compete.
I want you to compete. And I would measure a man on how he handles those situations. I want an alpha male. An alpha male that comes out here and shows everybody I'm the alpha. Now, Marvin Harrison, he said, I'm not going to do that. He didn't want to compete against those other receivers. Maybe he's saying, I'm the best. I don't feel a need to. But what he did want to compete against was this whole system, the whole way they go about things. And he's saying, all that I've done on my tape and on my film, all I'm doing is giving you an opportunity to knock it down by coming in. Now, Marvin Harrison can do that. I don't suggest to many people to try this. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't suggest anyone
else try that. He did it. He's the best receiver. Nabers, I love. But a lot of those plays we watched him make come from the slot. And a lot of times in that slot, he had like 991 yards in the slot. Scored a lot of those touchdowns. 12 of his touchdowns, 991 exactly. 12 TDs from the slot. Marvin Harrison was an outside receiver. That means you're going against team's best cornerback. The team said, this is the guy we have to stop, and he was unstoppable. I'm taking Marvin Harrison, bar none, first pick wide receiver, Keith, if you ask me.
Mm. Okay, you good now?
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying, yeah, I'm good. I like all of them. I like Rome. I like Malik, but Marvin Harrison is the best.
Yeah, it's simple. It's not. Michael kind of summed a lot of it up. It's simple. It is Marvin Harrison Jr., bar none.
By the way, you got to meet him and
stuff. Yeah, I know. So. I play, obviously, me and Dak played together, yeah. Came out the same draft. Mm-hmm. He's bigger than his father by far.
By far.
And when you look at his ability to transition.
That's the key.
In certain routes and do certain things, I'm not going to knock other receivers. I want them all to get their money. But he is at a different level. Now, when you start talking about the criticism, look, man, that's what they do. The scouts, they criticize it. This anonymous NFL wide receiver coach, he clearly doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Clearly. Because if you think Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison... Mm. Smaller number one, as Michael talked about, predominantly in the slot. So what happens when you're inside, when you're inside, Skip, you are at an advantage on the defense, which means that I'm either going to get the third corner, I'm going to get the safety, the strong safety, which essentially is the linebacker, or I'm going to get a combination of the strong safety and the third corner trying to vice me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to run right through that in college football.
Yeah.
Or I'm getting a linebacker because they stayed regular personnel and didn't sub out. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it can get dangerous in there.
That's fine. It's a dangerous. Yeah.
Well, but here's not as much anymore. Not as much because they can't hit you anymore.
Not as much anymore. Yeah, you're right.
And they can't chuck you and push you when you're running across the middle, like the old days. And so what Malik Nabers did was a lot. He had off coverage a lot. He ran a lot of seven routes and then post corner to the post. And he just outran everybody.
And here's what I'm going to say.
12 touchdowns from that slot, two outside.
Yeah, 900 yards, 12 touchdowns, only two outside. Here's what I would say when you start comparing Marvin Harrison Jr. to Malik Nabers. Now, again, I want everybody to get their money.
And both are good receivers.
I want them to all get their money and get drafted as high as they can. But I, as a personnel guy...
I understand.
I can find Malik, and in a lot of places in the draft, a lot of positions in the second and third. Who's the best wide receiver in the slot in the National Football League?
Right now. Justin Jefferson coming out.
Justin played. He move around.
But you got quite a few guys.
Just give me one.
Slot. I got Keenan Allen. I think.
Give me one.
Right, Tyreek Hill.
Here's why I ask you that. I'm gonna give you one. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
He's the best.
He just got paid over $100 million. You know what round he went in? He went the fourth round. So my whole point is. Right. I don't have to take a small, fast, quick receiver. Now you want to go to the best receiver?
Quick point of order.
That's a good point, Keith.
CeeDee Lamb does enjoy lining up in the slot.
Let me get there, Skip.
He does great in the slot.
So when I look at a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's one of the top wide receivers, top two in the National Football League, he can play outside, inside, wherever we move. But he started off as a special teams guy that went later in the rounds that...
He had off-field issues.
Yeah, but he was never going in the first round as a top 10 pick, even when he didn't have off-the-field issues. So my whole point of this is, now I get to your guy in CeeDee Lamb that I can compare Marvin Harrison Jr. to. I draft him, much like myself, as the number one overall receiver. I played outside, and when we needed to move me inside on third downs, we moved me inside on third down. But they knew when I got outside them numbers, I was still going to be an animal. You treat that the same way as CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb
needs to line up on the outside edge of the numbers, cool. If I need him to go eat on the linebacker's head inside, I'll move him inside.
You do.
I get the best of both worlds with Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know that Malik Nabers, 900 yards, 12 touchdowns, and predominantly in the slot. I don't know that he can play outside on a full-time basis.
Quick point of order to defend Malik Nabers. He caught 35 balls in the slot and 37 outside. So he can do some outside, but I'm with you. He is born to play in the slot.
He's first in the slot.
He's tiny. So for me to go that high
and take that tight, I can't do that.
Right. And y'all see the play that you're showing right here, him in the slot, and he's doing that against the safety. Now, I'm going to tell you, which was interesting, and I thought about this when you were talking now, that's where the league is going. Now the question is almost going to flip pretty soon, like, okay, you're great outside, but can you play in the slot? And if you'd ask me that, I was going to say no. Now, Marvin Harrison, he has played in the slot.
Yes.
But when you start talking about the top receivers now in the National Football League, because if you, in this league, you sit outside and just stay outside, they get a bead on you.
You gotta be able to be interchangeable.
So it's a question more of what Malik Nabers doing, or are we gonna we have to start saying we gotta figure out Marvin Harrison, like what you just said, can get inside and do the work inside.
But he can do that work.
And he can, and he's done some work in the slot.
He's done it.
You know, he had almost 355 yards and 5 touchdowns out the slot, so he can do it too. But yeah, that's an interesting thought. The slot is getting so important to the number one receiver. Yeah. The question really is, can I truly have a number one now that can't play the slot? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I couldn't. You could. But I don't know if you can do that and still make that the number one guy.
All right. Allow me to go off the board
the
a little
He's
bit.
He's scared.
No, he wasn't scared of anything.
I mean, he didn't want to get hit.
I'm going to go off the board, maybe off the reservation here, because I agree with everything you said about Marvin Harrison. But if I want to take the best receiver in the draft, I'm going to go with the hybrid receiver. And I've told you guys both this before, and I'm going to triple down on it right here.
I'm not taking Jack Bowers. I mean,
Brock Bowers. You don't even know his first name. Brock, can you watch him?
Jack Bowers is the 24 guy, man.
That's right.
I've told you before, Brock Bowers will turn out to be the best catcher of the football and runner with the football in the draft. When all is said and done, and I've said this before, and then I saw Kirk Herbstreit say this morning on ESPN, Brock Bowers is the best player in the draft. And I can't go that far because he's not better than the quarterbacks. But to me,
he's talking about physical gifts.
Hey, this kid, think of what he did. He leaves Napa, California. His father was an All-American center at the University of Utah State. He was. His mother was an All-American softball player. So he leaves Napa, California because he wants to go to the South where football is religion. And he wants to play at the NFL pipeline, which is the University of Georgia. And he steps on the field against Alabama as a true freshman and catches 10 footballs. And I'm saying, whoa, That's a bad boy right there, because he plays 1,000 miles an hour under control. Every game I watch, he's 1,000 miles an hour completely under control. And that's hard. You don't find that very often. And he can burst through contact. They ran him on reverses. What's that?
That word, burst. Woo. I saw him do a remember I told you guys, when you watch Tyreek Hill flip backwards, you can see the power in Tyreek Hill flip. And it's almost like he flips up here and then just falls back down to his feet.
Yeah.
I saw that kid doing the flip. Ooh, that reminds me of Tyreek Hill. That tells you the explosion he has.
He's the best tight end. But I ain't taking it.
He's a hybrid, but he doesn't.
He's the best hybrid tight end, but I'm not taking him ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's against your religion to think of a hybrid tight end as a receiver, but he is.
Yeah, no, it's not against my religion. It's against my religion to take him over what I know I see.
All right. I know what I see, and I'm on record. Just remember I said this, okay?
All right.
And see how high he goes.
You've been on record tonight. A lot for a lot of different things
That's not true. Show me one.
Dallas Cowboys. I'll just start there.
I don't have any objectivity when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm like this guy.
Going on record, good things. Don't let Key play with you on that, Skip.
He still owes me five dinners.